News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR.
France's Foreign Minister Jean-Noël Barrot has requested an emergency meeting of the UN Security Council following the extremely serious incidents, as he described them, targeting peacekeepers in Lebanon. Those killed three Indonesian nationals, raising urgent questions about the safety of Irish troops stationed in the region. I asked earlier on, we were speaking to Irish journalist based in Tel Aviv, Paul Kearns, about Israel's statement that the IDF should not be blamed for these deaths, because at this point it wasn't entirely clear what was the cause of the explosions, or who was the cause of the explosions that had killed the peacekeepers. I put it to Paul that the assumption one would figure was going to be that it was the IDF.
It will be presumed by many that it was the IDF. And, you know, to be fair, we can't, you know, we can assume or presume that, but we won't know the facts until we know the facts. But the reality of the situation on the ground in South Lebanon, again, is catastrophic. 700,000 are displaced. 10% almost of the entire territory has been told to be evacuated. You know, vast areas of South Beirut are under fire. So, you know, and 1,500 is the estimate of deaths, with thousands injured. So the deaths of three UNIFIL soldiers, tragic as it is, and the presumption of who or how they died, you know, is one small story in a catastrophic situation in Lebanon.
A catastrophic situation in Lebanon. Cathal Berry is with us, former commanding officer of the Irish Army Ranger Wing. Cathal, let's talk in a moment about the relative safety of the Irish peacekeepers who are in the region. But before that, how can you keep peace in what has become a war zone?
Good morning, Anton. So obviously you can't, but what you can do is you can provide some element of stability in an imperfect situation. So if you look at what happened in Gaza over the last 3 years, where there weren't any UN peacekeepers, that entire enclave has been rubbleized, really. And thousands of civilians have been killed. Whereas in Lebanon, where there are a UN, where there is a UN peacekeeping mission, and it has been for pretty much the last 50 years, the effects have not been as severe. But I totally take your point. It's very difficult to keep the peace when there's no peace to keep.
And do they end up acting as quasi-human shields? Is it the fact of the risk of harming the peacekeepers, is that what stays the hand of Israel?
So they are obviously there to bear witness for sure and to observe and report. So as your report said, there's a UN peace, a UN Security Council meeting taking place later today. And that meeting will be informed by really high class, top grade objective information being fed from UNIFIL directly back to New York. So the decision makers and the diplomats in New York will be making decisions based on excellent information. So if there weren't peacekeeping troops in Lebanon at the moment, that information would be coming secondhand through the Israelis or through the Lebanese or through Tehran. So it's very important that our troops are there to maintain a certain amount of stability at least and provide that crucial information, which is very important from a diplomatic point of view.
Now, at what risk are they doing that, Cathal? Because obviously they have been there has been a constant level of risk, and that comes with the job for anybody in Camp Shamrock. But that has ramped up greatly in recent weeks and seems to be continuing to ramp up. Is it worth exposing our troops to the kind of danger they must be in?
Yeah, the risk is absolutely there, and it's particularly got worse over the last 5 weeks. So on one side, you have Hezbollah, the Iranian-backed militia in Lebanon. And the other side, you have the Israeli Defense Force. And in between, you have the United Nations peacekeepers, and then you have the Lebanese armed forces as well. So it's a very, very, very complex situation. Is it worth keeping them there? For sure it is. There's a legal mandate, a UN Security Council resolution that must be enforced and must be implemented and must be fulfilled. Of particular note, though, the UNIFIL mission must withdraw exactly 9 months from today. So the mandate concludes on the 31st of December this year. So our troops will be coming home in 9 months' time anyway. And between now and then, their job is really important. Their location there is even more important in times of conflict than it is during the normal background setting in Lebanon. The activities over the last 48 hours for the Indonesian peacekeepers were unfortunately killed. It's about 25 kilometres away from where the Irish post is. So most of the kinetic activity over the weekend took place in the area where the Irish troops are. And it's been relatively stable where the Irish personnel are at the moment. But again, that could change over the next few days and hours.
What's your take on the overall picture in the region? Because the last time we spoke, there were something to the order of about 3,000 US Marines in transit to the area. They have now arrived. Plus, there is an overabundance beyond the normal number of about 10,000 US troops amassed around the Middle East. Does all of that suggest we're looking at boots on the ground?
Yes, it certainly looks like it, Anton, and you're right to draw a comparison between what's happening in the Gulf and what's happening in Lebanon, because essentially it is exactly the same war, just being taking place on two different fronts. The reason Hezbollah attacked Israel about 5 weeks ago was because of the assassination of the Ayatollah by the Israeli Air Force about 48 hours before that. And to your point, it does all the indicators. It looks like further escalation is now almost a certainty, and it looks like there's going to be American troops in a ground operation committed over the next week or so. And it looks like it'll be a limited incursion into islands or the coastal area of Iran. There's only about 10,000 deployable American troops there, but of particular note, no other country is going to get involved in a ground offensive.
As in,
it's just the Americans alone. Even the Israelis themselves have decided to step back and not involved, get involved in a ground incursion.
Now, obviously, for a lot of the countries that would normally be allies of America in these kind of conflicts is because they didn't want to be involved at all. But given that Israel was a driving force in all of this, their decision not to get involved in anything on the ground, is that fear of becoming permanently mired?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Israelis would understand the Middle East much better than the American military, particularly the current administration in the White House. And it is telling that the Israeli military don't want to get actively involved in a ground offensive because they know what lies in store for the American troops that are deployed. Now, Pete Hegseth, the American Secretary for War, and his chief military general are having a press conference at 1 p.m. Irish time today. So we'd expect a further update in relation to what is likely to occur over the coming days and weeks in the Gulf. But at the moment, all the indicators suggest further escalation, both in terms of intensity and also in terms of the geographical spread. So unfortunately, no good news from the Gulf this morning, unfortunately, Anton.
Well, just on those indicators, finally, Carl, just looking at the language coming from Iran, their foreign minister released a statement that says, as America's military aggression and invasion continue with full intensity, all our efforts and capabilities are devoted to defending Iran's essence. We have felt the previous experiences with our flesh, skin and bones, and we do not forget the betrayal that was inflicted upon diplomacy in two instances within less than a year. That doesn't sound like the language of a regime that is seeking a ceasefire or peace anytime soon.
Precisely, and certainly the language from the White House is quite inflammatory as well. So currently, as an outsider looking in, I mean, the Iranians do have the upper hand here, both geography and history are on their side. And the American planning for this operation seems to have been very suboptimal for sure. They didn't seem to anticipate the intensity of the retaliation from Iran, both in terms of closing the Strait of Hormuz and also the rocket and missile and drone attacks into various Gulf states. So at the moment, the Iranians certainly have the upper hand. They have maximum leverage over the White House. And the White House now, and the American president in particular, is trying to save face and trying to ensure that, I guess, the American legacy or Trump's legacy is not undermined by the events in Iran over the coming days and weeks. And we have to wait and see how things play out over the next little while.
Cathal, thank you very much. That is Cathal Berry, former commanding officer of the Irish Army Ranger Wing, and of course, former TD. 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, or 087 1400 106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.